In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We began speaking last week about competitiveness, having this competitive spirit and dealing with competitive relationships. And the church reads for us the passage today from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9, about healing the man who was born blind. And we see the same kind of thing. We see the people who are of the enemy are always, they feel they have this competitiveness with the people of God. So, in recalling this, I'd like to begin to continue our discussion from last week. Just recap what we spoke about last week. We mentioned that the basic trait of competitiveness is that you'll find that somebody always has to be a winner and somebody always has to be a loser in the relationship. And I mentioned how these types of relationships can be very destructive and very toxic to the rest of the family or the rest of the church or the rest of my friends when there's a spirit of competition. We spoke about some symptoms of this competitiveness in our relationships. We said that the person who is competitive insists on being right. They must always win the battle. There's always constant strife around the person. If I'm the person that feels like I'm always, in strife and conflict between everybody around me, then maybe I'm a competitive person. Also, we said that peace and happiness and love do not take priorities. So the most important thing is that I win, even if it's at the cost of peace and happiness. And we said primarily the cause of competitiveness is usually an insecurity in my identity or my abilities or my talents. I have this sense of insecurity. We also said, we mentioned some biblical examples from Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, and so forth. Today I'd like to begin and I'll speak about three things primarily, about self-evaluation, to see am I one of these people that are competitive. And if I am, how can I deal with this or how can I remedy my competitiveness? And number three is, if I see that somebody else is competitive, how do I deal with a person that is a competitive person? So I mentioned about six statements, and this we can kind of reflect on and think. So this is meant to be like a self-evaluation, not an evaluation of your wife or your husband or your brother or your sister, but this is meant for each person to kind of evaluate for themselves. Number one, the person who is competitive in nature, you hope that he or she, the other person who you're competitive with, does not do something well. So you hope that the other person doesn't do something that is good, that is productive. You're okay with them being unsuccessful, and you hope that they continue to be unsuccessful. Number two, you feel angry at the success of the other person. You feel angry at the success. So when the person succeeds, gets a promotion, gets better grades, is promoted maybe within the service, all of these things, if I feel angry at the success of somebody else, then maybe I have a bit of this competitiveness in me. Also, you feel a panicky regarding your talents after he or she does something you consider to be your strength. I'll repeat it. It says you feel panicky regarding your talents. So I feel maybe insecure, or I feel a little shaken when somebody else succeeds in what I consider my own talent. I'll give you an example, maybe among the deacons. A deacon has a nice voice, and then this stranger comes in, first time to serve, and he comes in, he has a phenomenal voice, right? Then the person who says, wait a minute, I used to lead here, now this person has even better voice than me, maybe the people will be attracted to him. This is a sense of competitiveness. Maybe in our relationship, in a marital relationship, I'm the breadwinner, I make a little more than my wife does, but what if my wife gets a promotion in her job and makes more money than me? Am I happy at this, or do I feel a little bit panicky, or do I feel a little bit uneasy? So when somebody else excels in my what I consider to be my talent and I don't like it, then maybe I have a sense of competitiveness. Number four, you are often trying to outdo the other person, him or her, on various tasks. So you always want to outdo them. They do a project, you do a project and put a cover page on it that looks great. You know, they do one thing, you do the other thing. You know, it's like, you know, the person who goes 1 mile, I want to go two in competition with him, not because of him or to help him, so or her. So you try to outdo the other person. Number five, you view him or her as an adversary rather than a teammate. You view the other person as if you're against each other. When they play offense, I'm playing defense. When they play defense or I'm playing offense, they're playing defense. We're not on the same team. And unfortunately, this is maybe common in marriage. In marriage, I often feel like I'm on one side and I'm trying to get the kids on my side and my wife's on one side and she's trying to get the kids on her side and there's this clash between the two. If I'm competitive in nature, I always divide team A and team B. It can't be on the same team. We can't be on the same team. Although this is the design of marriage and this is the design of our relationships. As the body of Christ, we are one body supposed to be functioning in unison together for one purpose and one goal. It wasn't meant to be that we fight against each other. You know, when the Lord Christ sent the disciples out two by two, He didn't send them out to compete against each other, see who can go the furthest, see who can get the most converts. No, He sent them two by two to help and complement each other. One person's weaknesses will be another person's strength, and vice versa. So, a person who is competitive splits the team. That team and my team. The last and the sixth thing is you feel happily superior when he or she fails. You feel happily and you feel superior when the other person fails. When a person, you know, in my job gets in trouble and or maybe is fired or is let go, I feel happy because what maybe I can be promoted to their position. It has a sense of the competition. So these are some of the things for us to think about and evaluate. Am I this competitive person or not? If I find that I am a competitive person, how can we deal with this? I think, you know, going back to last week's gospel about the competition that the people or the disciples of John had with the disciples of Christ and how St. John reacted to this insinuation when they were trying to get him to be zealot and try to get him to react to Christ baptizing and having disciples. We can learn three lessons primarily. So what if I'm of this competitive nature? What can we do? Or what do we need to realize? The first thing we need to realize is everything I have has been given to me. Everything that I have has been given to me in one shape or form or another. St. John says in chapter 3, he says, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. So when the disciples came to him and said, you know what, the person who you baptize is now baptizing over there and he's got many people that are baptizing and following him. What are you going to do? The first thing he responds to, he says this, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Everything that we have has been given to us, whether we think so or not. It says in the letter of St. James, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So everything that we have in our life has been given to us by God. I have the ability to study and do well in school and excel. I have been given the gift of the mind. If I can chant praises in a nice way, I have been given a gift from God to chant praises in a nice way. If I've been given the gift to love, maybe the unloved or love the people who are outcasts and are far away, this is a gift that God has given me. So everything that I have, we have to realize has been given to me. the position that I have at work, God has given to me in the capacity that I'm in for my benefit. Maybe if I was a CEO, this would be for my detriment or my spiritual decline. So God has given us our portion that is fit for us. And this is something we all pray. Don't we all pray in the Igbeya, give us our food in due season, right? This is our food in due season, giving us our portion in the timing that is right for our spiritual growth and edification. And also St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it's very clear. He says, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Why do you boast as if you had not received it? Think about it. Everything that I have is a gift from God to me. Why do I boast as if I did this or did something on my own? If I'm a competitive person, I need to realize first, everything I have has been given to me. Number two is in the very next verse. After he says, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven, he continues in verse 28 and says, "You yourselves bear witness to me that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." He says, "I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." So what is he saying here? If you're of the competitive nature, you have to realize that you're not the greatest, or I'm not the greatest. I'm not the greatest person. There'll always be somebody who's better than me at whatever it is that I'm doing. Always. And St. John, when he said this, he admits, he's basically telling them, I'm not the one who has all the answers to your questions, or your concerns, or your needs. It's not me, but it's who? It's Christ. So the person who is competitive needs to realize that I don't have the answers to everybody's questions. I am not God. I am not, the saint, Misharif Min. No, I don't have all the answers. I don't need to win everything all the time because I don't have all the answers. And as we said, being competitive in our relationships is a sign of weakness because I have some kind of insecurity. John was very secure in who he was and what his mission was. He was secure in his person, in his personality. He didn't need his validation to come from the king. But on the contrary, when it was time to rebuke the king, Herod, for marrying his brother's wife, he did so very boldly. Because my dependence, my validation doesn't come from a king, doesn't come from another person, doesn't come from a career. But it comes from knowing my place before God. This gives us confidence in who we are. And this is where our validation comes from. And if you think about it, St. John knew that this was the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. Why didn't he just leave and follow Christ? But he continued to baptize people in repentance, despite Christ being there. Why? Because he was confident not only in himself, but in his mission. He knows that my category is the last prophet of the Old Testament, the Baptist, the forerunner. I'm not a disciple. It's not my position, not my calling, to leave this and go follow him. Although we might say, he would have been a great apostle, right? But no, his mission is to continue in what God has called him for. And also some of the fathers say that if he had followed the Lord Christ, his disciples were so, zealot about following him and his mission and his ministry, that if he had followed him, they would have thought maybe he was either just trying to be humble and they would say, no, we're going to continue doing this. Or maybe they would have caused some division between some contention between the disciples of John and the disciples of Christ. So he continued to fulfill his ministry till he was thrown in prison and eventually martyred. Then by default, his disciples went to follow Jesus and there was a smooth transition. He was confident and secure in who he was and what his mission is. As a servant or as a person, a member in the church, do I know what my mission is and my calling is to the church? Am I content in this service that has been apportioned to me? Or do I feel the sense of competitiveness? I need to have what this person has in this respect in the church. Or this person has such and such a relationship with Abuna, because they have a certain service, I need to, you know, have the same thing. This is a sense of competitiveness, and this is a sense of division. This is not the sense of the body of Christ. So we need to be secure in ourselves as well. To be secure in ourselves, we need to realize or come to the conclusion of three things. The first is that we need to identify our weaknesses and strength. Be very honest with ourselves. Are you good with this and this and this? And when you're being honest with yourself, I'm not boasting about myself. I'm just saying this is a gift that God has given me, and this is what my strengths are. And on the same time, these are my weaknesses. These are the points where I know I need to work on and know that, you know, these are my weak points. And then after I identify these things, I think the hardest part for us is to accept them. And that's why we have the sense of competitiveness. I know my weaknesses, but I see my weaknesses as strength in others, and I want to be like them. No. In order for us to be confident in ourselves and secure in ourselves, we have to understand that I have strength and weaknesses that are meant to complement the other, not to compete against them. And when I come to this realization that my weaknesses have been apportioned to me just like my strength, this gives us rest. And they says, okay, now I can depend on somebody else for the weaknesses that I have. So I have to accept it. So I have to identify my strength and my weaknesses and accept them as the portion that God has given me. And then what's the third thing? As we grow and build ourselves and others through them. That's why I said the second part, the second one is the most important, is accepting it. Once I accept it, that these are my strengths and weaknesses, it becomes very easy for me to not be competitive and to realize that I need other people. The body of the church is meant to be codependent. We're dependent on one another. I'm not supposed to be the person that, you know, carries everything in the family or in the church or so on. No, we're supposed to split the bill. Codependent. And for those of who are impressive or who are of the competitive nature, we have to, you know, realize something very important. That people form their impression of us not based on our words they're based on our words, on our actions, not in comparison of others. Somebody doesn't say, you know, oh, Joe is better than his wife at this. No, they'll say Joe is good at construction, or Jim is good at doing this. They do it because based on what they observe. People don't evaluate us on comparison in others. So why do we evaluate ourselves in comparison of others? It does nothing. And certainly God is not going to evaluate us in comparison with others. He's going to evaluate us based on our actions and our deeds. And our deeds. So we said, if I'm competitive, I need to understand three things. The one, that everything has been given to me. Two, is that I'm not the greatest. And three comes again in the next verse, John chapter 3:29. He says, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled." So the third thing, if I'm a competitive person, I have to understand, or I have to search and seek after the source of my joy being from God. So the source of my joy and validation should come from God and nobody else. Shouldn't be a person, shouldn't be a career, shouldn't be a particular activity. When the Lord sent out his disciples, like I mentioned, he gave them the power to cast out demons, to perform miracles, and so forth. Then when they came back, he greeted them, and they said to him, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." He didn't say, "Bravo, good job, you know, that's what I told you, so if you followed me, I give you this." He didn't tell them that. What did he tell them? He says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this." Don't let this be the source of your joy. So what should be the source of our joy? He says that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in the place that we have in the body of Christ. Rejoice because we were freely given the salvation, and when we accept it, this will be ours. Freely rejoice because our names are written in heaven. Our names are written on the palm of His hands. He loves us and cares for us. Our validation and joy should come from the Lord Himself, from God. When we seek validation and confirmation from anybody else, we will nourish this competitive spirit within me. So how do I deal with others, maybe, who are competitive? We said, if I'm competitive, I need to first realize that everything has been given to me. 2, that I am not the greatest. 3, that the source of my validation needs to come and joy should come from God. Now, how do I deal with other people if I sense somebody else is competitive towards me? The first is to take responsibility of your share in the relationship. What do I mean by this? Sometimes my actions can trigger the competitive spirit in somebody else. For example, you know, if we look at Cain and Abel, did Abel do anything to make his brother jealous of him and compete with him? No, he did nothing. The Bible doesn't tell us he did anything. But when you look at Joseph with his brothers, did Joseph do anything to his brothers that made them maybe feel jealous of him and wanted to get that back at him? Yes, right? He probably told him his dreams, right? He says, you know, he didn't tell him one, but he told him two. And then not only them, but their parents also bowed down and worshiped me. Or they bowed down before me. So he did things in the relationship that might, you know, trigger them to be jealous of him and then to want to be competitive with him. So we have to understand, am I doing anything in these relationships to trigger the competitiveness in others towards me? You know, sometimes we do this by knowing the weaknesses of our friends or our spouses, and then we throw this, you know, a word here, a word there, to get them to know this. I know my wife's weakness or my husband's weakness is this, and then in the midst of things, if I'm upset or not happy with him or her, I will say this word because I know it hurts them and they know that they can't stand it in me. So then what? It starts to kindle or starts to form this competitiveness in them. So if I sense somebody else is competitive with me, take responsibility if I have a share in this relationship. Do I have any part in this? 2, is don't get dragged into the battle. Don't get dragged into the winner-loser battle, because this will always, it'll perpetuate things. It'll make things always get worse. There always has to be a winner and a loser. So how do I do this? I think, again, lesson from St. John. He must increase, and I must what? And I must decrease. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Let them, you know, win the battle. They must increase, and I must decrease. It's okay. Just one important thing, don't get into the battle. You know, I have to be the winner. No, I have to be the winner. No, I have to be the winner, and so forth. Maybe allowing them to feel superior or to win is the way to resolve, you know, the issue. And Christ taught us this principle. He taught us this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him what? Let him have your cloak also, right? If somebody's competitive with you and has an eye out for your tunic, he says, take it off and give him your cloak also. Let them win. Let them maybe feel superior and humble myself. Maybe I need the lesson in humility and they need the encouragement to feel secure in the relationship. When they feel secure in the relationship, I'm taught the lesson of humility, I think maybe things might work out better. The book of Proverbs tells us a nice piece of wisdom. It says, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Stop contention before it even starts. Before the quarrel starts, before the fight starts, stop it. By humbling yourself, letting them be superior, letting them win. And it's not the end of the world. 3, do not take some of these things personally. As I said, we know that a lot, you know, most people that are competitive in nature have some kind of insecurity. So the insecurity is actually the heart of the matter. The expression of the competitiveness is just the result of that. So don't take always everything so personally. But let's focus on maybe remedying the insecurity itself. And when we remedy the insecurity, then maybe the competitiveness will stop. What's the underlying cause? And in medicine and the medical field, this is what they always teach you. Don't chase, you know, what the labs come back and say, or don't chase, you know, what some of the tests might say. We treat the patient as they are. If there's a marker that says they have something like that's bad and the patient feels fine, okay, we'll continue to monitor. But don't start changing and, you know, doing all these things because simply we noticed something that was maybe a little bit abnormal. And St. Paul also, when he dealt with the church of Corinth, he didn't want to get into this argument with the Corinthians. He didn't want to take it personally. When they said to him that he wasn't a true apostle and they doubted his apostleship and all of these things, and he was not as good as others, what does he say? He says, okay, that's fine. In 1 Corinthians 4:10, he says, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ." Mesh, okay, I'm foolish and you are wise. No problem. This is St. Paul. "We are weak, but you are strong. I'll accept to be the one who was thrown in prison, beaten, shipwrecked, and all of this. I'm accepting this so that you can be strong in your faith. I'm okay. I'm okay with me being weak in the family, for waking up earlier than the family to get things ready, staying up late, for laboring and doing the things of the house, helping, doing, yes, I'm coming back from work and I'm tired and I'm, you know, I want to rest, but I'm going to stand up, and my wife is in the same situation, I'm going to stand up and help her and tell her no. The Bible says that you're the weaker vessel, you know, to help. My wife always tells me that. If I'm sitting there, she's working, she's like, remember, the wife is the weaker vessel. You know, okay, so I get up. So, help. I'm willing to be weak so you can be strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. You are distinguished, but he says about himself, I'll be dishonored. He didn't want to get into this this cycle of winning and losing, and he didn't take things personally. Despite all of this, something amazing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says them something that really, every time I read it, really, you know, cuts to my heart. He tells the people of Corinth, the more that I love you, the what? The less I am loved. Despite all of this, he's loving them more and they are loving him less, but he's willing to accept all of this. He's not taking it personally. How do I know if I'm taking it personally, if I'm still able to love despite myself not being loved? Competitiveness is very harmful to our relationships and it's destructive to our relationships. We saw the result of competitiveness in the biblical characters. And we learn to evaluate if I am competitive or not. And if I am competitive in myself, we said that everything I have, we have to remember that everything that I have has been given to me. We need to remember that I am not the greatest. And we need to remember that the source of my joy and validation should come from God. And if I'm dealing with others that are competitive, we need to take responsibility. If I have a responsibility in this relationship for making it competitive, number two, don't get dragged into the battle of competitiveness. Number three, do not take things, personally. Healthy relationships work when both parties accept that the other has complementary strengths and weaknesses, like we said, and use this fact to their advantage as a combined advantage to grow, to edify the whole family, to edify the church as a whole. And I think this, when we work in this spirit of unity, this lays the foundation for healthy relationships to grow and prosper in our life. And I'll leave you with a verse from St. Peter. He says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. May God give us the peace if I am competitive, and give us the wisdom if I'm dealing with people that are competitive, that we may unify together as one for the glory of God. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.